Greetings and good morning. Thank you for choosing KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock. Here's your local newscast for Tuesday, October 2nd. The Supreme Court has turned away an appeal challenging the federal rule that bars development on nearly 50 million acres of roadless areas in national forests. The Associated Press reports that yesterday the justices said they will leave the federal appeals court decision in place. That decision upheld the 2001 roadless rule. The press reports that the state of Wyoming and the Colorado Mining Association said closing so much forest land to development has had serious consequences for residents of western states and the logging, mining, and drilling industries. Public transportation between Durango and Grand Junction may start up again next year. Last year, Greyhound discontinued its route between Salt Lake City and Albuquerque, eliminating the only such service connecting towns like Cortez, Telluride, Ridgeway, Montrose, and Delta along the former bus route. But the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that a nonprofit group associated with the Southern Ute Indian Tribe has applied for funding from the Colorado Department of Transportation to start a daily round-trip bus service between Grand Junction and Durango. The Sentinel reports that the group, Southern Ute Community Action Programs Incorporated, has run a smaller-scale transit service in La Plata County since 1999. The Sentinel reports that CDOT is considering funding the service out of a grant program of the Federal Transit Administration, which aims to connect communities to the National Transportation Network. The proposed round-trip service would run every day from Durango, first to Cortez, then to Telluride, then on to Ridgeway, Montrose, Delta, and Grand Junction. The trip will take about 5 hours one way and cost $30 to $40 to make the entire route. It could start running in May of next year. John Valerio, a transit planner at CDOT and manager of the Intercity Bus Program, told the Sentinel that after Greyhound stopped service, CDOT got a lot of input that this particular route is very important. Valerio says the grants approved in the Intercity Bus Program will be determined in the next few weeks. The Sentinel reports that CDOT currently funds similar routes between several other places in and around Colorado. The West End School District has seen its enrollment continue to drop over the last couple decades, and it has had trouble keeping school facilities up to code. This year, the district was awarded a nearly $13 million BEST grant from the state of Colorado. BEST grants, which stands for Building Excellent Schools Today, provide matching money for school districts that can't afford building repairs of their own. If voters approve raising close to $9 million in matching funds through this fall's bond election, the West End School District will have the money to build a new school. KVNF's Ariana Brochus spoke to Paul Koski, former school board member and chairman of the bond committee, about the potential impact of the BEST grant on West End communities. Koski started by explaining the need for the grant.
You know, the conditions of our schools have been deteriorating for so long that, you know, when I was on school board, it was really frustrating to just constantly be putting good money into, you know, immediate fixes without having any long-term plan or goal other than trying to get a BEST grant. And for those who don't know what a BEST grant is, it's strictly for repairs and replacement of school facilities, not to give teachers raises or part of the operating budget or anything like that. And, you know, the West End School District definitely qualifies. So, in fact, on this go-round, we were determined to be the number one project as far as school replacement in the state. So the state's right now willing to invest $12.9 million into our small communities. And we're going to be maxing out our bonding capacity at $8.9 million. So about 59% from the state, and then 41% will be a local match.
And so that's something that the voters have to approve in November, and that would be a bond that would be paid off over a 20-year period.
20-year. Yep, a 20-year bond. This is really a conversation that's been long overdue for the community, that the community needs to decide for themselves whether, you know, they want to invest into their community, and that's what it is. It's an investment into the community.
And if voters do not approve the bond increase, then the money just sort of disappears?
Well, it goes back into the pot, and we could reapply for it, but that cycle is ending fairly soon. We were told that this may be the last cycle, but this is really our best opportunity for this amount of money, because that pot just keeps getting smaller and smaller, and the committee that oversees that money will be less apt to give us that much money again.
In the communities, what's the sense on support or not for this?
Well, I'm the chairman of the pro-bond committee, and the biggest argument I've heard against the proposal is that it's just such a bad time. You know, the economy's bad, and how can you ask people, you know, who are struggling to pony up more money for their taxes? But, you know, I've been here for 33 years, and it's never been a good time to ask for money. That, you know, you have to jump on these opportunities when they come. And this is our opportunity right now. To tell you the truth, most of the people that I've talked to are very open to it, and some are real adamant supporters of this. So I think we stand a very good chance of passing this. I'm very optimistic.
So basically, the idea is that you would build a brand new school at the current Nucla High School site, and what would happen to the old or other existing facilities? Would those also be updated?
You know, you dump that kind of money into their school facilities and you still wind up with an old school. It just makes so much more sense to just construct a new school, much more efficient. We're going to be consolidating all the schools into one facility, so it'd be a K-12 facility. You know, with our small student population, that makes a lot more sense. So we'll be seeing a lot of savings, not only administratively, but with, you know, utility costs and everything, and create a much better learning environment for the kids. The whole new school complex is going to be around $22 million. Now, we were able to convince them that we could sell or lease the old Natarita Elementary School. That's probably the best conditioned facility. If the mining comes back, the mill comes back, I really think that there will be some possibilities for that building. People need to decide for themselves, and that's all we're really asking them to do, is to get factual information, figure out your tax burden if that's the major concern, and you know, make an informed decision about this. It's just so critical for our schools and our community. I think it, you know, for a small community, the school is really the heart of a small community like ours.
That was Paul Koski, chairman of the Bond Committee for the West End School District's Best Grant. For more information on the West End School District bond election, contact Koski or Superintendent Tom Toucher. Last year, the Paradox Valley Charter School, also in the West End District, got their own Best Grant to expand their facility. This year, they finished the capital campaign to raise the matching funds. The school's building committee has started on the design phase, which will last through late October. Bids for subcontractors and materials will go out in mid-December. San Juan National Forest firefighters are responding to two small wildfires in the Shearer Creek drainage, about 3 miles west of Lemon Reservoir, northeast of Durango. Six U.S. Forest Service firefighters are on site, and an Upper Pine River fire protection crew is also helping. Yesterday, a Type 3 helicopter was ordered from Albuquerque. Over the weekend, Durango Interagency Fire Dispatch handled 8 lightning-sparked wildfires. Tonight, the League of Women Voters will host a forum for their candidates running for Delta County Commissioner, District 3, Mark Rober, Scott Wilson, and Mike Mason, and for Colorado House District 61, Millie Hamner, Deborah Irvin, Robert Petrowski, Kathleen Curry, and Ellen Temby. The forum will be held at 7 p.m. at the Delta County Courthouse. In addition, the League of Women Voters will present pro and con information on the November ballot issues on Thursday in the Montrose Library Community Room at noon. They are also sponsoring a candidate forum next Tuesday, October 9th, at 6 p.m. at the Pavilion. And that concludes your local newscast for Tuesday. For Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.